جسدا له خوار. خوار نر خوار نو خوار حسين لوك خو وار و has a light sound ر has a heavy sound جسدا له خوار. Okay, the changing of heavy and light sounds. Jim, what does that Jim say, Hassan?
Jim allows you to make a pause.
To make a pause. What does that meme, tiny meme say? أَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّهُمْ أَنَّهُ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمْ وَلَا يَهْدِيهِمْ سَبِيلًا. What does that indicate?
It's wajib to make a pause.
You should make a pause. لازم, okay?
Yeah, لازم.
اتَّخَذُوهُ. The word, the third letter on this word is a
fatha.
Has a fatha.
Yeah.
That's why you assign hamzatul wasl with
kasra.
Kasra. That's the rule. Yes. If the hamza, if the third letter in verbs have fatha or kasra, you assign hamzatul wasl with
kasra.
Kasra. If the third letter has dhamma, you assign hamzatul wasl with
dhamma.
Dhamma. Takhaduhu. Wakanu zalimin. That's all. I will recite this ayah once. Make sure you repeat after me. All right.
Yes.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, please join us. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
واتخذ قوم موسى من بعده من حليهم عجلا جسدا له خوار.
واتخذ قوم موسى من بعده من حليهم عجلا جسدا له خوار.
ألم يروا أنه لا يكلمهم ولا يهديهم سبيلا.
ألم يروا أنه لا يكلمهم ولا يهديهم سبيلا.
اتخذوه وكانوا ظالمين.
اتخذوه وكانوا ظالمين.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, dear brothers and sisters. Thanks for listening to us to IRB English Radio up to now. See you next session. Stay with IRB English Radio. Hassan Hussein Al Nasir, thank you so much for being with us today. Any questions?
No.
See you in the next session. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Black and white. Para el Pentágono.
For the Pentagon, for the White House, for the big capitals of the West.
Para los grandes capitales de Occidente. El enemigo.
The fundamental enemy is China. The Chinese threat
es de la cual
is what they talk about and put in the minds of the people with their hegemonic media, with their hegemonic press.
A los pueblos. Claro que están enfrentando.
Of course, they're facing this China that's already left behind the century of humiliation
y que está ya avanzando
and is already advancing in the middle of the century of reconstruction, which they're going to end in 2049. That's what the Chinese call the century of reconstruction.
El siglo de la reconstrucción.
It was in 1949 when the Chinese Revolution triumphed. The People's Republic of China is established and founded with leaders of the caliber of Mao Zedong and Zhou Enlai, among others, giving it a solid foundation of a new democracy. A democracy focused on the needs and particularities of China. That was the name of their new democracy program.
The
Popular Republic. Today, China speaks of socialism according to the conditions and characteristics it requires.
Que requiere.
Because China, as is normal, has its own particularities like all peoples.
China ha avanzado de tal manera.
China has advanced in such a way that since 1979, it's been lifted out of poverty. Listen well, nearly 900 million inhabitants.
Millones de habitantes. En los demás países.
In other Western countries and in different parts of the world, poverty increases and in China, it disappears.
El desarrollo sostenido ha estado basado.
Sustained development has been based on the interests of the Chinese nation, of the Chinese people, with a win-win policy. I win, you win, and also everyone else, with a conception that is the search for the happiness of the people.
La búsqueda de la felicidad del pueblo chino.
The Chinese people and the peoples of the world, the shared destiny of which China speaks.
China está enfrentando desde.
China is facing, from an economic point of view, and also a political one, of course, with BRICS, with the international organizations in which it participates. But also from a military point of view, the aggression and threat from the West, and particularly from the United States, which consider China to be their strategic enemy and the main enemy of the West. The development of BRICS, which seeks equality, equal treatment between countries at a commercial level, mutual support, cannot be understood without the participation and the essential and main contribution of the People's Republic of China. By the way, those in the G7 and the West view this with horror because economic negotiations today or at one level, or in search of equality and cooperation and mutual benefit. China is, without a doubt, a bastion of peace, development, and progress on an international scale. But at the same time, in the certainty that we are already in a new world, and that North American imperialism and Western Europe
y el occidente europeo no podrá seguir.
Will not be able to continue over time commanding as he pleases. This is Black and White. I'm Eduardo Artes.
Soy Eduardo Artes. Hoy, desde Argentina, estamos con Sergio Ortiz.
Today we're with Sergio Ortiz from Argentina, who is a journalist, writer, international analyst, and national leader of the Liberation Party. Welcome back to Black and White, dear Sergio Ortiz.
Estimado Sergio Ortiz.
Also, thank you very much, Professor Eduardo Artes.
Sergio, el 1949.
Sergio, in 1949, the People's Republic of China was founded after a long process, a very long process of anti-Japanese struggle, of national liberation in search of a new democracy.
En busca de la nueva democracia. ¿Cómo marcó?
How did this fight against Japanese imperialism, including North American interference, mark the future relations and international policy of the nascent People's Republic of China, in addition to the principles, in addition to the essence of that struggle?
Y la política internacional de la naciente República Popular China.
Bueno, como vos bien dices, la Revolución China...
Well, as you say, the Chinese Revolution triumphed on October 1, 1949, but it had a long previous path where it was basically based on its own forces, which is why the leader Mao Zedong always spoke of internal factors and internal conditions and own forces as a fundamental element, but it also received supportive help from other peoples, and especially from the Soviet Union of those times. So that they themselves, the Chinese comrades, when they make the revolution, it seems to me that they're already educated in that national, patriotic revolutionary, at the same time, internationalist and supportive spirit on their part towards other peoples. And they demonstrate it practically very shortly after the triumph of the Chinese Revolution, because in 1950, the Yankee aggression against the people of Korea, neighboring China, began, and it happened less than a year after the Chinese Revolution. However, the Chinese comrades trained the volunteers of the Chinese people to go fight and give a hand to their comrades in Korea, and they do it under very difficult conditions, because imagine that this is at a time when their revolution was still young. On the other hand, the Americans had used the atomic bomb in August 1945. China did not have it in 1950, and yet they go there in solidarity. Even a son of Mao dies without any kind of privileges, who goes to fight and dies in the Korean War. I believe that from then on, Chinese people have always been in solidarity with the people of the world, especially with the oppressed people of Asia, Africa, and Latin America. And well, it has obviously been with the people of Vietnam, while the North American War lasted with the people of Cuba, with the black community, the Black Panthers, and the black people in the United States themselves. Anyway, and much further back in time, with a much more modern and much more developed China, that solidarity has been expressed in works, ports, railways, aid to the people of the Third World, for example, to the African people, also Latin America. It has been reflected in the Belt and Road Initiative, the Silk Road, I mean, that's what they call it, from 2013 onwards, which has a series of infrastructure and aid works to these nations. Solidarity was also evident, for example, during the COVID pandemic, with 2 billion doses of Chinese vaccines that quickly reached the people who needed them most, when precisely the United States, the United Kingdom, and European countries were overcharging those vaccines and sold them at very high prices, or the imposed conditions, as we Argentinians suffered with the Pfizer case, which required a series of modifications to internal laws to put state assets as collateral to pay for several lawsuits if those vaccines that were not duly proven had bad consequences. I'm not saying that China is a perfect country which does charity. Obviously, its strategy is win-win. That is for both sides, but it seems to me that this policy is in fact a qualitative leap and a continuity of that political, material, human solidarity that they have had from the beginning after their revolution. So today it is more than anything embodied, as he said, in the Silk Belt and Road Initiative, which was launched in 2013 and which a series of countries have joined. There are 152 countries in the world that are adhered to this Chinese initiative until this moment. And please pay attention, this gives you an idea of the magnitude of this initiative. Let's not forget that 109 in the United Nations. In fact, number 194 is missing, that is Palestine, right? Unfortunately vetoed by Zionism and by imperialism. The state of Palestine does not have the right to vote in the General Assembly, but anyway, out of 193 countries that are formally members of the UN, 152 have already joined the Silk Road Initiative, and so have 35 international organizations. This gives an idea of how widespread it is and how favorably they view these types of proposals, which are of win-win nature and benefits humanity with a shared future, as the Chinese say, which clearly contrasts with the West's plan of aid. The plans of aid, when come from the West, bring sufferings to the third world countries, and particularly in Latin America. When it comes to the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank and others lent at usurious rates, set political conditions, interfere in the internal policies of the countries to which they lend. For example, they force them to lower salaries, to lower retirement, to privatize. Public companies, you first have to submit to the consent of Washington, to Wall Street, in short, to the North American order list.
Thanks, Sergio. We're going to go on.
Estamos con Sergio Ortiz desde Argentina. Estimado Sergio, para el Pentágono y la Casa Blanca.
We are with Sergio Ortiz from Argentina. Dear Sergio, for the Pentagon and the White House, China seems to be the main threat for the peace and order that the West has, or that the West has imposed on the rest of the world.
¿Cuál es la, cómo se llama?
What is the true contribution that China makes to the peace and security of the people and towards a development around the common destiny of humanity?
Como ellos dicen, en torno al destino común de la humanidad.
Bueno, lo hacen de muchas maneras.
Well, it does so in many ways. First of all, unlike imperialism, which has between 800 to 1,000 military bases abroad and which promotes wars, invades countries and bombs countries, China is nothing like that. We have just historically talked about the aggression against Korea or Vietnam, in addition to the aggressions against Cuba, the aggressions against Iraq, Afghanistan. And we must talk about the genocide that Israel commits against the Palestinian people with the direct help of the United States. The aggressions against Iran, the matters promoted by Israel and the United States itself against Iran. Well, unlike that, China has a totally different policy. It does not have military bases abroad, only a base in Djibouti in the Horn of Africa, for the purposes of controlling the pirates who carry out attacks and robberies on those commercial routes, but nothing more. So in that sense, it does not have the Pentagon's defense budget, which is $1 trillion. China's defense budget is four times less than the United States. And I emphasize that it has not attacked other countries unless for defense. We were recently at the World Socialism Forum in November of last year in China, and one of the Chinese leaders linked to the army said a simple sentence: if friends come, we have wine. If enemies come, we have cannons. They defend themselves, it is obvious. And I reiterate all orders, for example, from the United Nations when they vote against the blockade of Cuba. China raises its hand against the blockade of Cuba. Or now, in order to stop the genocide against Palestine, the Chinese insist and have received praise from many international organizations. The last one I read was from the director of the International Red Cross. The positions in favor of stopping this genocide, the Chinese position, in that sense, has been praised. Or, as I pointed out a while ago, in relation to the COVID pandemic crisis, we have the World Health Organization's praise for China, for its early warnings, for vaccines, etc., etc. Well, and this initiative of the Silk Road seems to me to be the concrete thing. Today, the most important thing in the proposal of the Chinese credits to build train port infrastructure, as they have also done in Africa at the time, with great joy and gratitude on the part of the African people. And even in the case of Argentina, the Chinese aid contributes, let's say, to the development of Argentina, and in general, to regional peace, world peace. Very different from the North American intervention with its nine bases at the time in Colombia, in Ecuador, now again with its military bases in Peru, etc. and etc. The Chinese position is a position, as you just mentioned, in favor of a shared future for humanity.
Para que otro mundo sea posible, diría el lema conocido de Fidel Castro, ¿no?
Así es, Sergio. Sergio, ¿cuál es el papel y la importancia que le da China?
That's right. Well, importance that China gives to BRICS, its participation in them. Here's the first question, and also, please refer to these recent military exercises, naval ones, in which, besides the naval forces of the Chinese People's Liberation Army, we see the participation of the Iranian and Russian navies, joint exercises, just at a time when NATO is also carrying out large-scale exercises, which is actually threatening Russia. Well, we have BRICS on the one hand, and also the military cooperation with the powers which are at odds with the West, and particularly with the United States.
Bueno, lo de BRICS, que es el acrónico Brasil, Rusia, India, China y Sudáfrica.
Well, BRICS, which is the acronym for Brazil, Russia, India, China and South Africa, has become more powerful after six other countries joined in as of January 2nd of this year. Among them is Iran. Argentina was also a member, but unfortunately its fascist government withdrew Argentina. I'm referring to the Milei government. But anyway, it is evidently an extremely important non-aligned entity which is home to third world countries. China is very much active there, and not only this last summit in Johannesburg in 2020, but in general in the same way as they participate in the movement of non-aligned countries, the G77 plus China. They've had their agreements and meetings, their summits with CELAC, the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States. We see the same activities in BRICS. It is part of that policy that they maintain. They were also co-founders of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization with Russia and other Asian countries. It is their policy of non-alignment, of confronting hegemonism, which is the euphemistic way they call imperialism. We say it with all letters, Yankee imperialism. They generally prefer diplomatic terms. Although they emphasize no to hegemonism, no to unilateralism, but ultimately they're referring to the United States. And that is why they are a very important part of BRICS that has, I don't remember exactly, but it must have close to 40% of the world growth. There are countries that are not on the same political page, because obviously India is not the same as China or Brazil or Russia, but they have those points of agreement. They seek a better world. They seek to prevent wars. They are evidently against the war that NATO promotes from Ukraine and with the Ukrainian government against Russia and by extension also against China. Based on that, the imperialism has made many agreements and it is not limited to NATO, which will celebrate another anniversary on April 4, I think it's 75th anniversary, if I remember correctly. And what do they target? They target the Soviet Union and the Soviet Union and China, and now to China and Russia, and in general, the countries that defend important values for the people of the world. So yes, China is indeed part of BRICS, and it is very good that it is so. And Argentina, as I tell you, unfortunately has left there. The Chinese are very good, but they are not stupid, as I mentioned before. If the Pentagon has a defense budget of $800 billion to $1 trillion, the Chinese have a $250 billion budget, and they have theirs. And part of its investment is made in technology. And especially we should note here what they want most, which is a united and ancient China, only one China, which finally in the year 1951 was able to take its place on the United Nations Security Council. But until that moment, Yankee imperialism maintained the fiction of the two Chinas in Taiwan, where the fascists of Chiang Kai-shek took refuge with the triumph of the revolution of the year 1949. And so the Chinese are very good, but they do not give up on Taiwan being part of China. They want to achieve it through peaceful means, but we see that the Americans keep traveling to Taiwan and sell weapons as Pelosi traveled. Officials from the North American government traveled recently. The Chinese get their hair on end and take their precautions and carry out their naval exercises in their sea off Taiwan. And the same way, they do these exercises, as you mentioned, with Russia and Iran, with the same call to attention to the United States. We want peace, but we are prepared for anything.
That's right. We want peace, and we are prepared for anything. Sergio, in a minute, which we barely have left, how are the relations between Argentina, with this government, as it is called, ultra-right, which is absolute madness, and the People's Republic of China?
Yes, relations have on the verge of breaking down. However, they have not been broken up from a diplomatic point of view yet. The Chinese embassy is still there, but in short, Argentina is part of that State Department, in short, part of the Pentagon in this case. And well, it is going to affect, and we already feel its adverse effects on the relationships in every sense. Because, for example, during the Kirchner government, China gave a loan of $5 billion to Argentina to build two hydroelectric dams in the province of Santa Cruz. And those dams were first paralyzed by the Macri government, and now they are definitely paralyzed. As a result, the Chinese company has withdrawn.
You're right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sergio, for being here on Black and White.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
IRIB English Radio presents Month of Velaya. The Velaya of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Welcome to the program Month of Velaya. When we talk about Velayat, we understand that Velayat is actually the authority of God that He has over the entire creation. And that because He has sent for us perfect human beings, and those human beings are His representatives, and they inform us of the way that God will become pleased, the way that He will become displeased with us. When we look at some of the traditions, we actually find a deeper and a more comprehensive meaning of walayat. In one of the traditions in Basair al-Darajat, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was asked about the goodly tree in the Quran. They asked him, what is this goodly tree, which is in verse 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 24. Imam alayhi salam tells him that this tree that is in the Quran has a meaning, and the meaning is this, is that it's base, and that its branches, its roots, its base is the Holy Prophet, and its branches are Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. And that this tree, this how trees have twigs. The twigs are the Imams alayhi salam. Then the tree has fruit, and the fruit is the knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And then a tree has leaves in it. And what are those leaves? Those leaves are me and you and all the, inshallah, all the believers and all the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So that we are one tree, we are one body, that we are connected no matter where we live. If you live in a faraway land, far away from believers, you should know that you're connected. You're connected to the Imams, you're connected to the Holy Prophet of Islam. And that is walayat. That is the beauty of walayat. When we look at another tradition in Basair al-Darajat, and we look at the story of Rumaila. Rumaila was a person that had many problems. And he said to himself, let me come to the masjid and pray behind Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib so that I can my inshallah, my problems will be removed. When he comes to Imam Ali, he doesn't present his problems to him. He is astonished and amazed that Imam Ali alayhi salam already knows of his problems. And then Imam Ali in the tradition clarifies for Rumaila and tells him this, tells him, Ya Rumaila, laysa min mu'minin yamradu illa maridna bimaradih. There is no person that becomes a no believer that becomes sick unless we are sick with his sickness. Meaning that when we feel ill, when we have problems, when we have difficulties, the imams, alayhi salam, when we feel sick, they are sick with our sickness. Then he tells them, وَلَا يَحْزُنْ إِلَّا حَزِنَّا بِحُزْنِهِ. No believer has grief unless that we are grieved with his grief. We suffer just how they suffer. Then Imam alayhi salam, the tradition says, وَلَا يَدْعُوا إِلَّا أَمَنَّا لِدُعَائِهِ. There is no believer that prays, that does dua, unless we do ameen, and we want their prayer to be answered. When we look at these traditions, we see that we are connected. This is an interpretation, we can say, of maybe hadith of the tree, meaning that the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are part of us, and we are part of them. When we feel sick sometimes, when we have difficulties, when we have grief, the Ahlul Bayt feel our grief and they are praying for us. And that is the importance of walayat, because we are all connected, and that is the way that we will reach salvation, because we are in one tree or in one embodiment. When you look at some of the other traditions that talk about how, when the Prophet of Islam asks, how will we enter, how will his ummah, how will his nation enter heaven? Jibreel goes and comes back and informs him that your nation will enter, that you will enter from the nur of Allah. You enter heaven from the nur and light of Allah. That Imam Ali will enter heaven from the nur, or your light, from your nur. And your ummah reaches heaven through your, through the light of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Meaning that this is one tree, one body, that when the trunk enters heaven, the base of the tree enters heaven, then what happens? The branches enter heaven, then the twigs enter heaven, and then the leaves, which are us, we enter heaven. So as long as we are under this wilayat, under this authority, we'll be fine. We'll inshallah have a good dunya, a good world, inshallah we'll have a good hereafter, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ahla bayti tayyibin tahiri.
Why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way? All covered up in a world that gives it all away. Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. In this series of programs, we have started discussing some of the jurisprudential laws regarding Hajj, based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But in this episode, I'm going to start with this question, Sheikh. What are some general rules for Hajj al-Tamattu?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In order for Hajj al-Tamattu to be valid, there are certain conditions to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
The first and foremost condition is intention. intention for what? Intention for to perform Hajj at-Tamattu. And then this intention must begin from the time of wearing ihram for Umrah at-Tamattu, because the Hajj at-Tamattu or the obligatory Hajj begins with the ihram for Hajj Umrah at-Tamattu. And so the intention must begin from the time a pilgrim wears the garment or the very special white clothing for ihram. He should intend to perform Hajj at-Tamattu, otherwise the Hajj will be invalid. Now this is the first condition. Intention is the first condition. The second condition is that Umrah and Hajj need to be performed in the month of Dhul-Hajjah. As far as Umrah is concerned, of course it can be performed any time before Dhul-Hajjah, which is not before the month of Dhul-Hajjah, but before the ninth day of Dhul-Hajjah. It can be performed, for example, in the month of Shawwal. It can be performed in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, and also in the month of Dhul-Hajjah, which is, of course, the month of performing Hajj. Now, of course, there will be a person who performs Hajj, Umrah of Hajj, Umrah at-Tamattu, will have time to, for example, to perform other acts, or maybe even leave Mecca and go and come back. For example, there are people who perform Umrah at-Tamattu, they leave Mecca and then come back. That's also permissible. So there are 3 months, Shawwal, Zilqad, and Zilhajjah. Umrah of Tamattu can be performed in any of these months, and there will be a large time span. Of course, for a person who performs Hajj in the month of Zilqadah, he will have 1 month. So during this 1 month, he can either stay in Mecca or go out. But then on the ninth of Zilhajjah, he has to be present, because the pilgrims has to leave for Arafat, for the wukuf in Arafat, and then moving on to Al-Mash'ar, of course, Zilhulayfa, which is the next step. Then the third condition is that Umrah and Hajj need to be performed in the same year. That's obviously understandable, you know, yes. Because Hajj must be performed in Zilhajjah. And now if you perform Umrah in 1 year and then the Hajj in the other year, that's not valid. The fourth condition is that Umrah and Hajj should be performed for one person or by the same person, okay? Mm-hmm. That person may be performing Hajj on his own, for himself, or maybe on behalf of another individual. So he cannot part it, he cannot divide it. For example, he cannot let Umrah be done by someone and Hajj be done by himself, by the person, individual himself. So it is just like prayer, you perform it yourself. And it's just like one piece of obligatory duty that cannot be divided between many individuals. So it must be performed by the same individual or on behalf of the same person.
But is it possible that or permissible for an individual to do, for example, Hajj at-Tamattu for himself, and then later if he has extra time, he can do it on behalf of somebody else?
No, he cannot do it. Because the time of the Hajj is limited. For example, you have got wukuf to do, you have got, you have to go to Arafat, to Muzdalifah, and then on the 10th day of Zilhajjah, you must do the stoning, and then the zabh, the hadi, must be given, an animal must be sacrificed.
I see.
You don't have so much time to do all these rituals.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including practical laws of Islam, frequently asked questions, comparative fatwa, and newly asked questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawidar, guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws regarding Hajj with Sheikh Javid, based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, you know, we all know that there are certain acts that, in fact, should be done during Ihram, and there are certain acts that should not be done during Ihram. Sure. What are those prohibitions of Ihram? Would you just enlighten us?
Well, there are many prohibitions which pilgrims must be very careful about. And some of the most important and major prohibitions are, for example, hunting. Obviously, hunting is not applicable in this time and this time around or today, because there's no animal or game to be hunted. Then, of course, we have sexual intercourse, which is strictly forbidden. Kissing a woman, this is number 3, is forbidden. Touching a woman is forbidden, number 4. Number 5, looking at a woman and flirting with her, okay? Even if she is your wife, okay, it's not permissible to actually flirt with a woman. But looking at your wife, that's okay. Sitting together with her, and even sleeping together in the same room, there is no problem. Okay, masturbation is absolutely forbidden. It's obviously forbidden under all circumstances.
Yes.
But okay, in the season of Hajj, if someone masturbates, he must give a heavy penalty. That's it. Reciting nikah, solemnizing nikah, carrying out nikah, that's number 7, it's absolutely forbidden. Use of scent or perfume, it's not permissible to use perfume, or even it's not permissible to use a soap which is fragrant.
Taking a shower is no problem.
Yeah, there's no problem, of course. And then wearing sewn clothes, now clothes which are stitched, or let's say sewn by a tailor, you cannot wear it. But these prohibitions are applicable to men only and not women, okay? Because women, they wear their own normal clothes.
Yes.
Okay,
how about shoes?
Yeah, shoes, of course, they wear their shoes as for women, but men, it's not permissible. Now,
so what
we go on, I will come to the some of the prohibitions, okay, including wearing shoes. Now, applying colorium, okay, wearing makeup, so that's not permissible. Looking in a mirror, that is also one of the most frequent occurrence, which is, of course, wherever you go, you see mirrors either in your car or maybe in the bathroom.
Yes.
And you have mirrors, but you should avoid deliberate and intentional looking in the mirror. Number 12, wearing shoes, slippers or socks for men, it's not permissible. Okay, there are some flip-flops, okay, which a pilgrim must wear. Otherwise, it's not permissible to wear for a pilgrim to cover his feet by wearing slippers or socks.
Oh, slippers are forbidden?
Yes. Yeah, forbidden, according to His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei.
How about sandals?
But, you know, if there are, I said that sandals, it depends on whether they cover the upper part, the upper sole or not. If they happen to cover, then it's not permissible. You can
if
wear,
they cover all parts of the sole, for example,
the upper part of the sole, maybe the sides of the are visible, but, you know, the parts over the top part of the feet must not be covered. So if you wear
sandals,
a flip-flop,
uh-huh,
flip-flop,
right,
there's no objection. If a sandal is called flip-flop or a flip-flop is the same as sandal, there's no problem.
Okay, yes. Thank you very much.
We have more prohibitions to cover.
Okay, thank you. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue those prohibitions after the break. And we continue our program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadin wa Ali.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws regarding Hajj based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, before the break, Sheikh Javid, you were discussing some of the prohibitions of Ihram. Would you please continue along the same line?
So, number 13, I would like to say that it is lying. Lying is to tell a lie is forbidden under all circumstances. But if you lie in while you are in ihram, wearing the ihram garment, you will be liable for a penalty, which is to slaughter a sheep. Okay, and obviously it is absolutely forbidden. Now, quarreling is also another prohibition. Quarreling means, okay, to quarrel about something, okay? Mm-hmm. It could be a very petty, a very insignificant issue. Like, for example, you, I owe you some money, you owe me some money. Okay, give me my money. He says, no, I can't give you. And then you start quarreling.
Mm-hmm.
This is forbidden, quarreling. So, it's, you know, the Hajj is a peaceful
ritual.
There should not be anything which involves violence. Yes, stressful. For example, we said that carrying guns is forbidden in one of the previous. So carrying guns or anything of in the form of violence is forbidden. Now, let's
by
say
guns, you mean guns. Both like cold and warm
yeah,
guns,
yeah, both of
right?
them. If yeah. if you mean to hurt someone or to carry guns in order to protect yourself, because it's going to be a safe place. A haram means a place
a
where
sacred
yeah,
place.
A sacred place, which is peaceful, inviolable, yeah. inviolable under all circumstances. Mm-hmm. Now, then we have the killing of insects, lice, insects, or whatever you find on your body. You cannot kill it or kill them, okay? When you find, for example, lice, or an ant, okay?
Yes.
You just pick it up and put it aside. Don't kill it. Yes,
you can avoid it or drive it away,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah, you can just throw it away, but not kill it. Kill it, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, beautifying oneself is forbidden. I told you that colorium is one of thing, one of the adornments
yes.
which one should avoid, but generally speaking, wearing makeup is forbidden, and it's forbidden for men and women alike.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and of course we have other prohibitions. If maybe we, since it's time is running out,
we can cover them.
Yes,
inshallah.
Yes,
in the upcoming.
And
episodes.
Of course, we know that the pilgrims do need to know a list of the prohibitions.
Yes.
We have actually provided them with a list.
I see.
Inshallah, for the remaining prohibitions, we want our audience to continue the next with the next episode.
Thank you very much. So try to actually follow us up in order to know more about the prohibitions or some of the jurisprudential laws regarding Hajj based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Thank you very much for listening to this program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. From me, Muhammad Jawad, the host of this program, Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, and the rest of the crew, we bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن.
voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israeli forces killed more civilians in Gaza as the death toll from the regime's genocide approaches 37,400. Meantime, the Israeli regime carries out air raids against Syria, killing an army officer. Plus, the Russian president and the North Korean leader sign a comprehensive strategic partnership pact. That's while Putin pays a state visit to Pyongyang. Ambassador Snachefi, it's good to have you with us. Israel's deadly air and artillery strikes continue to rock the Gaza Strip, where more than 8 months of war has left nothing but a trail of death and destruction. The latest attack has targeted a residential building in northern Gaza, killing at least 9 Palestinians. In central Gaza, air raids claimed the lives of 2 civilians in Wadi Gaza Bridge, while 17 others died in airstrikes on Al Buraj and Al Nusayrat refugee camps. The Palestinian Health Ministry says in a matter of 24 hours, over 24 civilians were killed and 80 injured across the strip. The death toll from the regime's genocidal war is now nearing 37,400. Mutieba Musabbe joined us from Gaza earlier with an update regarding the Israeli bloodshed and the Palestinian resistance in the blockaded territory.
Yes, actually, let me begin with Rafah, whereas the Israeli occupation forces committed another appalling massacre against the displaced Palestinians in Al-Mawasi area. 7 Palestinian civilians were reportedly massacred in that area after the Israeli occupation forces targeted their tents. Needless to mention that Al-Mawasi area was supposed for multiple times, and it was claimed for multiple times by the Israeli occupation forces as safe zone. In addition to that, multiple fires actually broke out in the tents of the displaced Palestinians there. The current situation is still tragic for the Palestinian people there, basically in the western parts of Rafah City, which are still under the heavy attacks of the Israeli occupation forces. These attacks were maintained against Tal al-Sultan and al-Saudi neighborhoods. They are still under heavy attacks of the Israeli artillery, in addition to repetitive Israeli airstrikes. On the other hand, when it comes to the Palestinian resistance, fierce clashes erupted between the Israeli occupation forces and the Palestinian resistance there. And according to multiple Israeli sources and the voices, that they are facing difficulties in handling the Palestinian resistance there, and the Palestinian resistance is still fighting back against them bravely and relentlessly.